And I want to preach about a subject that I've preached on multiple times, and that's about suffering. And so I would like for you, if you would, to find your place in Philippians chapter 3, a favorite passage of Scripture. We preached through this passage before. Verse number 10, it talks about knowing Him and being with Christ and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings. And so we'll find our place in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. But I was thinking about this. Brother Tyler Finner, a good pastor over not very far from here, is facing the struggles he's having. Daniel, just a week ago today, had that wreck, and so much of his change right now. But even beyond that, I'm thinking of people that are right here that are having struggles in their own family, health-wise, and just different relationship-wise. And think about people that have had surgery as of late. Carol Wallace had a knee replacement the other day and is recovering. Carl Bond had some surgery, but he's got to have some more. I think about Wilton Wood, Brother Tim's dad, that's got health issues going on. And we could just go on for about the next hour talking about different people that have issues going on right now in their family. But not only what's going on right now, I'm thinking of just in recent years, life-changing, life-changing events happening, and people have to go on in a way less than what they were, less than what they wanted. And then I think about this verse, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I so love the first part of that verse, that we may know Him, that we may apprehend Him, that we may be more familiar with Him. And we would say a big hearty amen, that I might be more connected with Him, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, because the power of the resurrection trumps everything else that you've got going on in your life, any problems that you have, any sicknesses you have, diseases that are going on, and problems and relationships and all that. The resurrection trumps that. It's just like if somebody has an issue and you say, well, yeah, but I know the solution. Oh, okay. Well, what about this problem? I know the solution. The power of His resurrection. But then we wane off on our liking of the last part of the verse, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, meaning that's where I'm headed, the apostle saying, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may be that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus, meaning I'm chasing hard to live this life pleasing to the Lord because I've already been apprehended by Him. I count not myself to have apprehended, brethren. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. And this passage has been so comforting and so encouraging to people. But I do want to preach about that suffering in verse number 10. Would you turn over to John chapter 15. You're in Philippians. Go left several books. One of the Gospels, John. You're Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 15, verse 20. I may have said the wrong one. John 15, 20. The Lord is giving us a little bit of a synopsis of the relationship between believers and the world. Verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Somebody in this room says, well, I'm having a tough time in this world. This world doesn't seem to like me or the God that I serve. Well, no joke. If it hates you, don't be surprised. It hated me before it hated you, Jesus said. If you're of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. But look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant's not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Don't have you turn there, but in Acts chapter 14, the Bible says, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so I think about what the Bible says back where we started as a springboard in verse 10 of Philippians 3, the fellowship of his sufferings. Someone told me recently they didn't understand why they were going through some of the things that were happening to them. And I don't disagree. I think about the people who I just mentioned, but I think about a dozen others that I could tell you right now. I could name your names. But somebody told me, I just don't understand why these bad things are happening. They're trying to do things that are right. And we could challenge that in so many different ways that it rains on the just and the unjust, or who's good and all those things. But let me just give you a little take on what I do. If things come along my life and they're troubling me, then what I do, if an issue comes, something bad, I first ask, is there any known sin in my life? Is the Lord trying to get a hold of my attention? Is there something I'm doing that I ought to be doing? The Bible says that He's going to convict us if there's something that we're doing. Maybe it's wrong in the way you're behaving towards somebody in your family. Maybe you're in something that's inappropriate, some relationship or whatever, or you've just been a rotten rascal of a person. Is there something wrong and I should get right? And I ask that first. Then I say, well, is there anything I should be doing? Maybe the Lord's just trying to get your attention, to get you motivated, get you to motivate and get on and get doing something. But then after you have a heart-searching time, you realize, as far as I know, there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. Everything is right in my Father's house. I don't have any ought between me and God or me and anybody else, as far as I know. As far as I know, everything's right, and I think that's good. And then, Lord, there's nothing that I know of that you burden me about, that you put a burden in my heart, a leading in my life, that I'm not doing something I should be doing. And after those two boxes are checked, I try just to trust God in whatever's happening then. Because really, what else can you do? The Bible is very clear that the Lord will correct you and will convict you of sin in your life. And He will draw that conviction. The Holy Spirit will get your number. And then if you don't listen to that, the Bible is very clear that He says He chastens every son whom He receiveth. If you don't listen to that little sweet, the small still voice of the Holy Spirit, when it convicts you, then it brings out a little bigger and He chastens you. Scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If you don't receive that, the Bible says, then you're not His. And then it goes on from there and talks about that sin unto death, that if we don't listen to the conviction and we don't get right at the correction or the chastening, that God, eventually God's going to call you home. You say you're done. So I, when bad things happen, I ask myself these questions. And if there isn't anything in that section of life, and I say, okay, no, and then you just try by faith just to accept and say, Lord, I want to help. I want to be, not help, but I want to be the person I should be through this suffering. This message tonight will be in two parts, and each part's got 2 points, so don't get that excited. But I'll tell you, we're about ready to land the airplane here in about 15 minutes, and I'll let you know. But there's two reasons that I want to look at tonight why some of these sufferings happen to us. Number one, a very practical reason, we hope more in God. We hope more in what God's doing. And we put our confidence in Him. We put our reliance in Him. We depend on Him, because there's something about when we're going through difficulty and problems that we rely more on God than we do when everything is going smooth. Amen. Let me contrast a wedding and a funeral. The pastor, you get to do both. Nobody at a funeral, nobody pushes the line about what they want and what they always want to have happen. Most people don't have their funerals planned out that well. Most are reverent. Whatever you want to do, Pastor, you know more about this than I do. I've never heard anybody at a wedding say, oh, you know more about this than I do. Just do it however you want. I went up to, did a wedding in Ohio, and I've never been told more what to do by this group of ladies than I had at that wedding. But I've also never been given a blank slate at the beginning. Liar, liar, skirts on fire. They weren't that. They said, oh, you can do however you want to do it. We don't care. Boy, was that an untruth. That wasn't a lie. That was a lie from the beginning, from the pit. Because they're the ones that told me the most what they wanted to do, and I was told more what to do in that wedding than any other wedding I've ever done. And so we see that you've got to contrast this wedding, you contrast this funeral. The funeral's like, Pastor, whatever you want to do is fine. They're at a hurting time. At that wedding time, some of those brides are wanting to hurt other people. That's what they're doing. One has suffering, the funeral. Well, both of them have suffering, actually, sometimes. I'll be on the suffering end of these two coming this year. But one has suffering and one has freedom and celebration. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. There's just something about when you endure suffering, if you endure it in the right way, that it brings you closer to the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that I want more funerals than weddings. I enjoy the weddings. I'm just saying that those funerals, when people are suffering, if they're suffering in the godly, biblical way, there's something sweet about that valley that people are going through. God seems sweeter and nearer to you at that point, so we hope more in God. Number two, we know Him better because we share His suffering. Suffering allows us to experience a little bit of what the Lord did. Your suffering that you go through and my suffering that I go through, a lot of it's justified. That's not always, I understand that. But it never was justified what the Lord went through. Every bit of what He suffered was for you and me. Every bit of His suffering was undeserved. Not one spot of it could say, well, He got what was coming to Him. None of it. Heard a little story, whether true or not, the little boy was picking out puppies from this box of puppies that somebody was selling them or having given free, I think, but he picked out the littlest one, and the person that was trying to get rid of them said, oh, you don't want that one. He's the run. He doesn't get as much to eat as the rest. He's small, and he said he's got a leg, and he pointed to his leg, and his leg didn't work correctly. It had a little deformity. And that little boy pulled up his pant leg, and he had a leg brace on. And he said, maybe one that has trouble somehow likes another that has trouble. And he liked that little puppy that couldn't get around as much as the other ones did because he knew what that felt like. Suffering allows us to experience a little bit more of what our Lord did. Listen to what Job said after he suffered. In Job chapter 42, verse number 5, it says this, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Job knew the Lord. That's why he was in the awful fix he was in, because he was the upright and escheweth evil. But boy, after the suffering that he went through, he said, Lord, I'd heard about how good you were, but now my eye seeth how good you are. The two reasons. I'll give you the second part, and that's the two responses. The two responses that I feel like see that we can have in suffering. One is despise it and be defeated, or I could label it give up and quit. I was out knocking on doors, inviting people to church, and this fella came, and after a little while, I tried to warm him up. He was cold. I tried to warm up. He was cold. Tried to warm up. He just never did really get anywhere. After some time, though, he told me that his little sister had died of cancer some years before that, never got to get married, never got to have kids, never got to live the life that she wanted, and he said, I haven't been back to church since, and I don't plan on going. In essence, he was holding God hostage for what God had allowed to happen. You can despise these things and be defeated or give up and say, I'm not going to do it. Or you can be that, the Eeyore, that's the donkey on Winnie the Pooh, if you don't remember your cartoons. You say, everybody hates me, nobody's good, everything's bad, and give up when suffering comes. Or 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can also be that way if we choose to be, but we can despise it and be defeated. Or we can secondly do this, delight in it and rejoice. You say, Pastor, I'm not going to rejoice in the things that happen like that. Well, the scripture says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, just in case us hard-headed people didn't want to get it. And again, I say, rejoice. Now, we don't necessarily enjoy the suffering unless you're some kind of sick puppy, I don't know. But we certainly enjoy the company. And we delight and rejoice. When Jesus said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's just something about the suffering that goes on when we have that suffering, if we draw near to God, that's a sweet time. Some of the people in this room have gone through some dark, dark valleys. I'm thinking about one couple that's here tonight. And their family totally, totally rocked by the untimely homegoing of their son-in-law. But yet they've just walked through that valley as with the Lord. The Lord's walked with them as well. And they have decided to delight and rejoice in the present company that they have. That's the Lord. I've watched reunions sometimes. You see them on YouTube and things of soldiers that serve together in very rough parts or rough battles, rough engagements. And there's a bond there that I'm sure I could never experience or could never duplicate with them, because when they suffered together, there's just something special that's brought them to a point of great fellowship. And the same thing is true when the Lord brings us through battles and brings us through great difficulties. We don't forget that either, do we? There's been us that have called back and forth and said, pray for this. And when you labor together and you yoke up together, say, Lord, we're begging together for you to do this great thing. And then the Lord works. And we have that rejoicing. So tonight, as I'm closing, we all want to know that power of his resurrection. But if you know much about Christ, we find out something about him. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. I've told you this before, but I used to hear that little saying when I was a kid, a friend in need is a friend in, yeah. And I thought, I don't want a friend in need. I want a friend that doesn't need anything. I want a friend that has everything. I totally missed the point. So I want a friend that's rich and loaded and he can bring me everything. I don't want one that needs things. But the truth is, a friend in need while you're in need is a friend in deed. And so if we're going to be a friend to Christ and let Jesus be a friend of us, we've got to remember who our friend is. He's that friend that's, yes, take us closer than brother, and we love that. He'll never leave us, forsake us, and we love that. But do we love that he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief? That's our Savior. And so because we're not home yet, Daniel led us a little bit ago about Beulah land, we're not to there yet, we're not home. Because of there, we're in a world that doesn't always love our Savior. And that means that we're going to have some suffering. So may we take tonight some suffering that comes our way, and may we rejoice in it, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Take some suffering when it's necessary in order that we might know him better. One person put it like this: I'd rather have the fellowship with the Lord, I'd rather have the fellowship with some suffering than no suffering but no fellowship. It all depends on how much we want him. I'm going to ask our pianist to come and play, an organist if you would. But here we are. And none of us are going to ask for and beg for this suffering. But I've watched families go through some of the darkest valleys, and their attitude has stayed sweet, their demeanor has stayed kind, their struggles have been real on the inside, but they certainly have yoked up with Jesus Christ through that suffering. And you could be going through it right now. Well, let me rephrase this. Some of you are going through it right now. I know it. But I'm telling you, you are not walking alone. In the fellowship of his suffering, you're with him. As they begin to play, if you're able to, would you stand together? And if God's laid a burden on your heart tonight, I challenge you to come and give it to the Lord. Brother Daniel and Brother Kyle's up here at the front, and other folks would be glad to pray with you as well if you like. Maybe there's just something in your life that's going on and you say, Lord, I don't understand why, but I'm trusting you in it. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The Lord is molding us, making us, getting us to where he wants us to be. Sometimes we fight with every fiber of our being what God is doing in our lives. Give it to Him tonight. Let me ask you to do some intercessory prayer right now. You know somebody's going through it, don't you? Would you pray for them? You can come up here and pray. You can pray there in your seat, wherever you want to. You know they're going through great trial right now. Who is that person that God's put on your heart? Don't take that as a happen-so thing. God obviously brought him to mind for a reason. I believe you ought to be praying for him right now. As they keep on playing, let's pray for some folks. As they continue to play and you pray, if you're here tonight, not sure that you're saved, I didn't preach on that. But my friend, there's only one way to heaven, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not this church or this group of people, some group of rules, regulations, none of that. Jesus Christ. If you need to be saved tonight, would you step out and come? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe there's some other spiritual need that you have. So you're going to play, they're going to play one more verse. If God's moving upon your heart in your life, you follow the Lord in that. Thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's been a wonderful day in God's house, and thank you for being here for all of it, and I hope that you would do this favor and be praying for some folks that God puts on your heart. Also be praying for the Sisk family. Brother Don Sisk went to heaven. That funeral is tomorrow down in Chattanooga, and pray for that family if you would. But also this, God will, I believe, put somebody upon your thoughts and put them on your heart. Would you reach out to somebody this week and just tell them, I'm praying for you? You say, Pastor, that's kind of awkward. It's not as awkward as you think. Just call them, text them. If you don't want to call them, text them, drop them a note, whatever. Just find somebody who's having you feel like, or just say, God, who is it? And He'll know. Maybe even somebody you're not expecting to have a hard time, and just reach out to them and tell them that you're praying for them. One of the greatest ministries I think we miss is the ministry of praying one for another. So let's all get deputized. And the pay is horrible. But like somebody said, the pay is horrible on this side, but the retirement package is out of this world. So there you have a wonderful, wonderful payday some of these days. And so let's be encouraging somebody this week. Would you do that? Appreciate you. God bless. You're dismissed.